You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, I'm Ricardo Gonçalves. This is SBS On The Money for this Tuesday, the 2nd of February 2021. It is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap. Later, property listings are down. What does that mean for house prices? But first, let's start with the Reserve Bank, which says interest rates will not rise until 2024 at the earliest. The board met for the first time this year. It left the official cash rate at 0.1%. That continues to be a record low, but it surprised the market by extending its bond buying program by $100 billion. What does that all mean? Well, for more on that, including the conditions needed to see interest rates rise, I spoke earlier with Angela Jackson from Equity Economics. Angela, the Reserve Bank has kept official interest rates on hold, but it is extending its quantitative easing program. How significant is this and why?
Look, it is significant. I think last year it was unconventional monetary policy and it wasn't even in the RBA playbook. And here we have the RBA, despite the fact that the Australian economy really has shown unbelievable strength, really, continuing that program with another $100 billion. I think it's warranted, but it is, you know, incredibly noteworthy.
It's optimistic about both the local and global economies, but to what extent?
Look, I think the RBA and in this, you know, extension, the $100 billion extension, is reflecting on the fact that while the Australian economy is certainly gaining momentum and consumers are outspending, there remains a lot of risks to the economy. None other than, of course, the pandemic and how it is going to play out this year with the vaccine rollout and how the world economy is going to recover. But then there is also domestically a great uncertainty about how consumers are going to respond with that withdrawal of fiscal support in March and whether they really do dip into the savings that we all made, or household sector as a whole made during 2020. So there is a lot of uncertainty there, and I think that's why the RBA has made this decision today to continue quantitative easing into the medium term.
I guess in saying that, though, it did say that GDP will return to its pre-pandemic level by the middle of this year. So what will it take for us to start seeing interest rates to rise?
So what they're really looking for, I think, Ricardo, is wages growth. Now, this is the thing that they've been looking for a long time and that the Australian economy simply hasn't been able to generate for around a decade. So what they're looking for is that there's going to be tightness in the labour market and that will drive higher wages. I guess the risk there is that that doesn't occur, that there are structural issues within the labour market that are holding wages back. And so then what does the RBA do then? Because it wants to see inflation within its target range of 2 to 3%, and it's really struggled to get it there over the last period of time.
And in the last statement of the RBA's, in the last paragraph of the RBA's statement, it did say that interest rates will not likely rise until 2024 until it sees some conditions being met, like, as you mentioned, wages growth rising, employment being a bit stronger, and inflation hitting its target band. So if that doesn't happen until 2024 and we've got these interest rates at record low levels for another 3 years, what does that mean for asset prices, shares, you know, houses and even the Australian dollar?
Well, I guess this is a real risk for the RBA, and we've seen in the past, particularly with the housing market, that they have been concerned about the housing bubble and rising house prices. And we know that low interest rates are certainly fueling that at the moment, and we're seeing, you know, house prices going up again across the major capital cities. So that's really the risk, and that creates an economic risk, obviously, because you have an asset bubble. Bubbles can burst. You also have the fact that households are spending an increasing proportion of their incomes on meeting their housing needs. And that hurts the wider economy. So, look, I think the RBA will potentially be looking in the near term anyway to the federal government to look at some of the reforms to the housing market in particular so that they can focus on generating economic growth and don't have to worry about this housing boom.
Angela Jackson there from Equity Economics, and the RBA governor will speak tomorrow at the National Press Club, so we'll get some more details. Now, it's not just record low interest rates supporting house prices, but also availability of stock. And we heard from the team at SQM Research today, which said that property listings fell 2.9% in January and are down 10.5% year on year, suggesting fewer homes out there to buy. So for more on that, I spoke earlier with SQM Research founder Louis Christopher. Louis, how would you describe the level of home listings or property listings in Australia at the moment?
The areas which have fallen the most have been Brisbane, which fell by 12%, Adelaide fell by 15%, 15.9%, and Hobart fell by 23.7%. Now, normally when we see these type of falls, it generally suggests that buyers are actually pretty active in the market, and they are what we call absorbing stock. They're buying older stock that's been there potentially for months on end because they want to get into the market. So it is to us an indicator that there is more activity in the marketplace.
Sydney and Melbourne, though, they're up year on year and quite dramatically. Yes. What do we know what kind of properties these are, and what does it say about the housing market there?
Yes. So what we're seeing in Sydney and Melbourne is a situation where vendors have been coming into the market. New listings have actually been rising in these two particular cities. But when I actually look at the old listings, they've been falling in both those cities as well. So it's been a case of new listings more than offsetting the fall in old listings, hence the reason why we recorded a rise. I also think today, particularly for the case of Melbourne, we've got a bit of catch-up going on. You may recall last year, the Melbourne housing market literally froze up because people were not able to conduct auctions. They literally got to the point where you couldn't even conduct a private property inspection.
And just finally, what does this all mean for prices, do you think?
I think overall, this would be suggestive that prices are likely to rise. When I see an overall fall year on year in listings nationally, that's implied in the past that prices have risen on that news because there's less supply in the marketplace overall compared to the number of buyers. So our expectation is that prices will rise. Our forecast is for 2021 is that dwelling prices nationally will rise between 5% to 9%.
Louis Christopher there from SQM Research. And now to the Australian share market, which had its best one-day session in about 4 weeks. The S&P ASX 200 up by 1.5% to 6,762. The miners led the gains along with the banks. Tech stocks also did well. So for more on that, including the upcoming profit reporting season, which includes how COVID impacted the numbers, I spoke earlier with Jessica Amir from Bell Direct. Jessica, the market's up today. Why?
Well, the market was off to the races today. I guess it carved out its best jump in 19 days, perhaps a sign that normalcy could be returning, as the past week has been pretty speculative with retail traders, I guess, betting against fund managers on silver and gaming stocks. But I guess in a sigh of relief today, and funnily enough, Ricardo, what drove the market today was two things, and that's how it should be in theory, companies and economic data. So on the company side, Tabcorp shares were one of the best performers, up about 8% earlier on receiving a takeover offer, but they didn't give too much detail on that. Secondly, Credit Corp, a debt buying company, was another standout today after they reported a really good set of financial numbers. And secondly, on the economic side of things, we learned that interest rates will be on hold until 2024 and that the RBA will buy more bonds, which supports the economy.
Profit season starts tomorrow. Amcor's the first to report. What's the market expecting for the whole season? Because these numbers will show just how COVID-19 have impacted company profits.
Well, interestingly, earnings across the market broadly started to improve since late last year. And that's because employment, business conditions and consumer confidence really started to bolster. And the Aussie economy is now on a recovery path. So we're actually likely to have more pleasant surprises than nasty ones this reporting season. All in all, we're expecting 20% earnings growth in FY21. So that could be a big turnaround from last year's 16% drop in earnings. The standouts to look out for: resources or mining companies likely to see the biggest jump in earnings, about 32% on stronger dividends as well and cash flows, really benefiting from rising commodity prices. Of course, China's economic recovery and record low interest rates. Another one to look out for is banks. Of course, CBA reports next week, and banks as a whole are expected to show an 18% jump in earnings, benefiting from house sales being at record levels and mortgage demand at record highs. And dividends could return to the benefit of shareholders, which have been pretty patient.
One company which did give us a preview on its numbers anyway is the furniture and homewares online retailer Temple & Webster. While revenue has surged, revenue is slowing. So what can you tell me about the challenges these types of companies that have benefited from COVID will have as we head into the new year?
Good question. Well, I guess Temple & Webster is a great example of an online retailer that is benefiting from most of us working and spending more time at home. Now, Temple & Webster's shares gained over 300% last year. Today, their shares took a bit of a haircut, I guess. Why? Well, revenue grew 118% in the half year compared to the same time last year, but investors wanted more growth than that. Temple & Webster sales so far in July were up 100%. But they're just preliminary numbers. So the takeaway, stay at home, online tech stocks aren't really seeing any huge roadblocks. Yes, growth is cooling after the pandemic, after the pandemic low. But there's three things to consider here. Firstly, the e-commerce industry is set to double to $8.8 trillion by 2023. Secondly, Australia savings rates are at record highs. And thirdly, property prices are growing.
A lot of the media and investment community have been focused on GameStop over the past few sessions, I guess, with that short squeeze there. Any more wash-up locally?
Yeah, interestingly, a nickel cobalt miner, GME Resources, listed on the ASX, they've been mistaken, I guess you could say, for the US-listed GameStop, which trades under the same ticker, GME. Yesterday, GME on the ASX jumped 22%, and today their shares fell by about half of that. Secondly, silver stocks have been rallying, and that's because the commodity price is up about 10% and popped to 8-year highs. Now, that was the biggest jump since 2009. So Silver Mines SVL today fell by about 26% after rising 50% yesterday. Another small silver company called Manuka Resources, MKR, they fell 10% after rising 30% yesterday. So plenty of sizable moves.
Jessica Amir there from Bell Direct. That is SBS on the Money. I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at BusinessRicardo.
This SBS on the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.